Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Listen, you work your program and let Sarah work hers.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 23. Get a load of this title, Cardio Funk. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
I really wish we had been recording when Dave asked what the episode title was, and we told him, and he did not believe us.
Yes. Now, welcome to 1992.
Cardio Funk, one word or two?
It's hyphenated. Oh. It's not. This is in the days before intercapping, yeah. So it was not intercapped. It was cardio hyphen funk. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to why the episode is called that later. I mean, ish. It's really not. It's not a good title, even given the content of the episode. But first, the B story. Karaoke comes to the Peach Pit. You would be surprised that this can be a whole plot on its own, and yet we have quite a few clips for it, because surprisingly it stretches over a lot of the episode. And
now, do you remember, to put us in a sort of, you know, frame of mind, when karaoke was new,
right,
and it was a big deal,
right?
Think back to when sushi first came to the, and do you remember that SNL did a thing called mixed sushi commercial?
No.
Where it's like, oh, it's crazy. McDonald's is going to serve sushi one day. And it was just like, sushi, it's raw fish. It's crazy. Wow. Japanese, they're mad. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, sushi.
You get sushi at the supermarket.
You get it at the supermarket. So I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. It was a karaoke. It's a big deal.
You shouldn't.
You should.
But you can.
Someone in this room might do it often.
A little secret. If you get vegetarian sushi, you can get it at the supermarket.
Yeah, it's that's fun. True.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. All right.
And this has been Japanese pop culture and cuisine export hour.
Next week, Rising Sun. Just kidding.
But wait, I had a gas station salad note.
All right, karaoke. So the start of this storyline is Jim and Brandon and Nat bringing in so much karaoke gear. In the visual aids, there's a picture of Nat and Brandon later setting it up, and there's like 500 pieces of this set of equipment that they've gotten. Apparently, Jim's client...
It's like the UNIVAC computer of karaoke it 100% machines. Like, it's really, is. I think it's operated with a punch card signed by Frank Sinatra. It's crazy.
It's so big, and I think they had to like actually build out part of the set to make room for it, because it does not look like any other scene that I can recall. Or maybe they just moved a couple of tables in the jukebox. But it really seems like there's extra space in the Peach Pit that was not there before to accommodate this. But anyway, Jim's client, it just says that he gave him a brochure about it. I guess he sells it, you would think. But anyway, Jim is sure that it will bring in new traffic to the Peach Pit. And let's hear about that in clip number 2.
Brandon, make sure the whole crew is here tomorrow night when we crank this baby up, because we are going to rock and roll.
Oh, boy. This is one of the episodes where Jim thinks he's really cool, and
he almost comes back around.
Yes,
through his extreme nerd enthusiasm,
which we'll get to.
Cool.
Yes, it's adorable in a very dadly way. Like, he really thinks this is going to be A, great for the Peach Pit from a business perspective, and B, super fun for the kids. Let's see how that comes out. So later, Nat and Brandon are setting up, as previously mentioned, the insanely complicated karaoke system. Nat exposits that the night business has been shit because it's a recession. And then clip number 3.
Who's that?
He's got a gun and a mask. Tell him we're closed.
Foreshadowing. Not for this episode, but for an episode very soon. alas, they are not being robbed tonight. Spoiler alert. The next day, Jim at home is very dadly excited, even more so, to get everyone out for karaoke at the Peach Pit. Someone says even Andrea is coming, like, oh my God, she's figured out the buses to get to the Peach Pit to come and experience the karaoke revolution. And then it's finally time for Nat, in front of this huge setup, to introduce karaoke. Jim, as you can see in the visual aids, is right at the front of the crowd. No one is more psyched than him. Oh, wait, I skipped a clip. Please play clip number 4.
Well, it sounds like the pit's going to be packed.
Great. My clients tell me that the bigger the crowd, the better. Get people to try karaoke once, and they're hooked.
You're not going to stand up there and sing, are you?
Yes, I am.
Hell yes, he is.
It's the most officious, yes, I am. It's so wonderfully prim.
Also, and this continues to be a story, well, we'll get to it when it comes up again. So Nat calls Jim to be the first on the mic, and this is what happens, clip number 5.
For my first number, do one of my old favorites.
His first number? How many of these things is he going to do?
So mean, and yet a fair question.
And yet, yeah. Dylan knows. Dylan knows what's up.
He really does. So Nat calls Jim up, and the number, one of his old favorites, is Do-Wah-Diddy-Diddy-Dum-Diddy-Do. They actually got the rights to the song. So if you're one of the people who's watching along with this podcast on Hulu, that might be the reason that it is not there, because they have to play it. And here's why. After Jim does it, apparently everyone else just sings that same song like 500 times. I mean, in different combinations. Obviously, it's cut together to just be one version of the song. But for that to happen, like, everyone took turns. It doesn't make sense in the context of how people would actually act. And yet, at the same time, it's very like senior breakfast, only the gang highlight reel clip of the show. Like, you can totally imagine everyone just sitting there while different combinations of the gang goes through this fucking song endlessly. Like, oh, good. Here are Steve and Kelly to do it. Great. Anyway, the next day at home, Jim is still singing his signature song and irritating everyone. And when we get back to the Peach Pit again, it's full of olds who are drawn by the karaoke, and the kids are like in the sidelines being snotty about it in the way that teenagers are. Jim comes to accept Nat's praise for how packed the place is, and then Jim gets up to do Bebopalula, horrifying Cindy, which, by the way, why does she care? Like, I'm kind of on Team Jim with this one, because, first of all, I love to sing, but also, like, Cindy should be supporting him. He has so few vices. He's got two shitty kids at home. Let him have this.
Well, or just don't come. Like, at least he can sing.
Yeah.
If my beloved groom got up to do karaoke, which he never would because he has a realistic grasp of his, you know, pros and cons. A beautiful singing voice is not one of those pros, mm-hmm. and he would never, but if he tried, I would have to, you know, tackle him, because that's marriage. But Jim can actually sing,
yeah.
And if you don't want to do karaoke, it's really cinchy to avoid it. LA's a really big city. Go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Go to the garden show.
The house, there are 3 cars that live at your house. Borrow one and go someplace else. And then again, if you're not going to, then just give in and enjoy how adorable this is. Clip number 6.
Yeah. Ooh, boy. Who knew accountants could be so groovy?
Come on. It's very endearing.
It really is. You know, James Eckhouse really had to put up with a lot of bullshit, as we're going to see in the next episode,
oh, God.
But just throughout. Like, he's always in that giant bathrobe.
Yeah.
He doesn't really seem to have a, like, he's an accountant one week, then he's sort of a lawyer, then he's kind of a sales guy.
Yeah.
They're always about to have to move back to Minnesota. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm Team Jim, like, generally.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. He's
groovy.
He's having fun, and he knows it's dorky, and he doesn't give a shit, and that's always endearing to me. Like, just own it, you know, and he does. But anyway, later, the gang is another day, all united, wanting Nat to get rid of the karaoke machine and all the raisins, which, don't blame him. And so they want Nat Brandon to go and tell Nat it's either karaoke or they're going to find somewhere else to hang out. And Brandon agrees and tells Nat that the gang is actually going to boycott, and we hear that in clip number 7.
Well, they're right, Brandon. Karaoke's great, but the Peach Pit, it's a juke joint. Always was, always will be.
Well, what about the money?
Kids are the lifeblood of this place. No, it's sad my Brit's buttered.
Okay, I don't want to call Nat a bad business person because that's what the next episode is all about. But like, listen to yourself. If the kids are where your bread is buttered, why aren't you making more money?
Because as a kid diner veteran, mm-hmm. what's actually happening is that they're each getting a cup of coffee, one piece of pie to split six ways, and then they're sitting there like ashing in it for 3 hours.
Yeah. Or they're getting like one order of fries and nursing it all night, all sharing it again. Like it's ridiculous. Like this, you can't target your business to them. And also that was the whole point of doing this is like you needed to bring in new customers and you did. Like, do you want to make money or do you want to be cool? You'll never be cool. And so make money.
When karaoke was new, it still was not a thing where you just have the machine and someone could do it anytime.
Right. It's at
certain,
I don't think so. It's like you have karaoke from 7 to 9 at a certain, you know, on certain nights or something. Unless you were going to just.
And then people who can only sing along with Frank Sinatra, like myself, are like, you know what? This maybe isn't for me. And they clear out.
Right. Anyway, so Nat agrees, as we heard, that the kids are right, because the show is about them. But he tells Brandon he will get rid of the karaoke on one condition, which is that Brandon has to break the news to Jim. And so as we close the episode, we still have another plot line that we haven't gotten to, obviously. But it's Cindy and Brandon watching Jim so pathetically singing along with his keyboard, which he has on headphones. And Jim's doing a cappella Wild Thing is the end of the episode. And it's so heartbreaking.
And then he's doing these weird, like, I wouldn't call them pelvic thrusts.
No.
But there are these, like original Olympiad in Athens poses happening. But he's also trying to do chords. Oh, Jim.
He's really feeling the music. And it's... It's sweet and sad, as so many dad things are. But anyway, that's it for the karaoke storyline. Let's move on. But first... This is a public thank you from Karen to Kyla Epstein. And she says... Karen says, who helped me run a successful campaign to be elected to a 6-year term for the position of trustee for Canada's largest trade union.
We bonded during the last federal election while door knocking for our friend Mira, who was an NDP candidate, Woo. And she introduced me to your podcast.
Again with this, Beverly Hills 90210 edition has become our thing, and we quote Sarah and Tara all the time, as you should, to each other, as well as our mutual hatred of brandsplaining.
Ditto. So thank you, Kyla, for all your support and hard work to get me elected. Aw.
Aw, thanks, Karen, and thanks, Kyla, for doing the good work. On behalf of Canada's largest trade union, I'm very pro-NDP and pro-trade union, and I believe I was a member of that union when I worked at a library, my very first job as a teenager, so this message has personal resonance for me, not just as a Canadian, but as a proud union laborer.
Yeah, stretch it out. We got 13 more seconds of our national anthem.
Thank you, Kyla.
Thank you. Yay.
And Karen.
I actually thought this was the Northern Exposure theme.
Oh, no.
No thanks to American Sarah D. Bunting. Just kidding.
No, not at all. I'll go sit on the roof. It's cool.
Moving on to our A story, which let's call it Wandering Eyes. Brenda and Kelly are taking... the cardio funk class that has given this episode its title, and a cute...
Which we never see again.
We definitely never see it again. Cardio funk was, I don't know, I guess it was a thing. It's like, you know, it's aerobics, basically. I don't know why they had to give it its own cute name, but they did. Maybe that was a real thing
you
in
LA
at the time.
You have to grow the brand.
I guess.
No, this is what you had before, like, Pilates and... you know, strip aerobics and
Zumba.
Stuff like that. Ask your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zumba is the thing now, I hear. Anyway, there's a guy in front of them. He is not good. And they are giggling at him. There are so many, by the way, butt floss leotards that I put them in the visual aids and they're like marked butt floss A, butt floss B.
And sometimes it's not even a whole leotard. Like,
no.
I think in Brenda's case, she actually just had like a wedgie that went on over her tights.
That's
like,
what,
just-
yeah. That's what a lot of these look like. It's like a panty over your leotard. Like, what? I don't understand.
Are you
the
getting
point.
Waxed through the tights? I don't...
Anyway.
It was, yeah, indefensible.
Look at the visual aids if you dare. Don't look directly at them. So this guy notices that the girls are laughing at
him
and starts up conversation with Brenda. And there's a reminder, in case you forgot, that it's the 90s in clip number 8.
Does he think I am a fly girl?
Ah, the fly girls. Brenda gives him the eye while hip rolling. Kelly gives her brutal side eye also in the visual aids. And Kelly comments that he's cute, and Brenda scolds her that they're not there to meet guys. And Kelly's like, speak for yourself, which, good point, Kelly. Meanwhile, across town, Surf Betty Sarah shares at American... I have an abbreviated AA, not at American Airlines, at Alcoholics Anonymous. It takes Dylan 4 lines of her share to realize that he knows her pretty well. And she recaps her story for new viewers and tells us what's been going on since we last saw her. And that's in clip number 9.
I'm 18 now. And about a year ago, I thought I hit rock bottom. Got really wasted one time and went surfing and nearly drowned. Some kids fished me out and took me to the hospital just in time.
My friends are the ones who fished you out of the ocean.
Then I met this guy. And we moved in together.
Hold on a minute, boy.
And we drank together. About a couple weeks ago, he beat me up pretty bad. And that's how I got here. I've been sober for about a week now. And I guess that's a start.
Apologies for the Russian guy who interrupted her announcement there for a second. I had a different clip playing in the background. Something happened.
Yeah. So
it was a lot more exciting that way. Shut up, Sarah.
Also, Brenda and Brandon are just some kids. Well, I never. Just kidding.
Also, you're 18 now.
I also want to point out, since I mentioned it, I've been searching for the mixed sushi commercial on the internet. Doesn't exist. Hmm. Can't find it.
Yeah, a lot of SNL stuff just like is not anywhere on the internet, or at least not in any legit form. Because when I was looking for the Trump's House of Wings from the last time he hosted SNL last week, was nowhere to be found either. Anyway.
Yeah, they're really strict. I found this like supercut of them all cracking up that NBC Universal stepped on like a year ago. I mean,
lame.
I don't know why they're so strict about that, but they are.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the actual story. Dylan listens to all of this and is concerned with a capital C, or possibly constipated. It's hard to tell from his face. Check it out in the visual aids. Back at Cardio Funk, the class ends. His name is Tim, comes over to chat up Brenda. She tells him that he goes to West Beverly, just like anyone ever meets on the show. He went to Beverly, the school that actually existed. He wants to go out for something to eat, and Kelly quietly indicates that she doesn't want to. Tim asks for Brenda's number. Only off Kelly's look does Brenda admit. Well, let's hear it in clip number 10.
We really have to go.
Well, then I'll see you back here Sunday night then.
Sunday night? Sure. See you then. Brenda, I thought we were only coming to this class on Fridays when Dylan's at his AA meeting in Malibu. Well, I was thinking you might need a little bit more exercise. Oh, I see. What's the matter? I can't believe you. Once. You were totally coming on to him. I was not. I was being sociable. I don't think that Tim was able to make that subtle distinction. Look, Kelly, it's not like I gave him my phone number or anything. And besides, I told him that I had a boyfriend.
Only because I was standing there.
Kelly, I'm here to exercise. Nothing more.
I had to leave that music on because it was too funny.
That's great.
Yeah.
That sounded like, you know, like an 80s local office supply store jingle commercial ending.
Kelly, by the way,
even if she didn't have a boyfriend, Tim is gross. Then he's like, do you want to go, you know, the Kelly's like, no, thanks. And then he's like, what about you? Do you want to eat? She's like, no, thanks. And then he's like, well,
look,
you do
Kelly.
Have a phone, don't you?
Yeah, he's really pushy, especially, I mean, we'll hear more of it later in the episode. But like, once Brenda says she has a boyfriend, like, back off, even though she is, in Tim's defense, and Kelly's flirting back super duper hard.
Paper by the box, staples, all your needs. Come on down to your local office supply store.
Nothing more.
Who but W.B. Mason?
Yes. Nice.
Anyway, back at American Airlines, just kidding, AA, Dylan says hi to Sarah. She, of course, remembers him. She asks after Brandon. Because this is an ongoing thing for some reason that occasionally comes up, he says that Brandon is fine but never got into surfing. Like, I don't know why they keep talking about how Brandon doesn't surf. Like, we get it. He plays 17 other sports. Move on. Who cares? Anyway, Sarah says she was thinking about getting back into surfing, and Dylan says he's going out the next morning and she wants to join him, and she says maybe she will. And then Dylan goes to the Peach Pit. It was he at the door, not a robber, to tell Brandon that he saw Sarah, because I guess, anyway, let's just hear it. Clip number 11.
I saw her in an AA meeting. From what I remember, she could use it.
First of all, thanks for weighing in, fucko. It's none of your business. Oh my God. Second, God. Dylan, I guess the second A is optional now? What the fuck is that?
Well, they never knew her last name. I think it counts.
I guess, but he still tells, like, I mean, he identified her as a person just because they didn't know her last name. I feel like it's not his business to be telling people who he saw at AA meetings, but then I don't know as much about the program.
I mean, yeah, it isn't, but they both know her already.
I guess.
And they knew that she had a problem. Like, I feel like that would probably be okay.
I guess.
But I'm also not in the program either, so
right.
The fuck do I know?
All right. Let's agree that Brandon sucks.
We can agree on this. Brandon needs to shut the fuck up.
Yes, he definitely does. Moving on. Brenda opens the door at home to Dylan. She's immediately weird and guilty at the sight of him. Like, she sucks at not cheating as much as she probably does at cheating. We'll find out soon. And she apparently came home from her exercise class and changed into a whole new outfit at night instead of just putting on pajamas or sweats like a normal person. But anyway, Dylan is excited to show her his 90-day chip and has an invitation for her, which is when things get even weirder in clip number 12.
Maybe you should come to a meeting with me sometime.
I would love to.
How about Sunday?
Sunday night?
Yeah.
I don't know. I might have something. But I'll just cancel. It's okay.
Thanks.
Why are you so morose about it?
And also, why are you fucking going to AA in Malibu? Sorry, I meant to bring this up like two clips ago.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's far.
Like, yeah, it's kind of far.
It's far and really inconvenient. Like, it's Beverly Hills. There have got to be a whole community of like agents who are
They're
alcoholics.
They're all there. I feel like Brooklyn right? had to borrow one. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Anyway, she invites him to come in, but he can't because he has to get up early the next day to surf. And I guess he's got to make sure that his Baja hoodie is out of the laundry
because
he's in it when we see him the next day. Pulling up the beach, meeting Sarah. It looks like they actually are maybe at the ocean, which is kind of surprising to me. But then in some shots, it looks green screen. So I don't know. I'm not going to make a ruling on it either way. Green screen cop is standing down for this one. But anyway, she thanks Dylan for getting her back out. And surfing ensues. Of course, we don't see either of them actually get a wave or her on a board at all, or even someone who looks like it might be her, which is whatever. And later, they both talk about drinking as they unwind on the beach and about surfing while drunk. And it's as uninteresting as you would expect. They talk about how other people don't get it. And he asks if she's still in school or if she graduated. Neither. She dropped out. And she and her ex, who we're going to meet in a second, are sharing a dump. That's important to note too.
Not
because
that kind of
wait,
dump.
What? Just like the love toilet from Saturday Night Live?
She describes their place as a dump, and you can see in the visual aids it looks perfectly nice.
Like, I did not understand what you're saying. Like, I actually thought you meant they were taking a crap at the same time.
Yeah, they're both so fucked up that they just take craps together on the floor. You know.
Can I just say, Sarah, how happy I am that you laugh at fart noises? Tara doesn't get it.
I laugh rapid farts? What are you talking about?
You're telling me this now? We've known each other like 20 years. I've always left it.
No. I'm just saying I've always appreciated that.
I'm offended that you think I don't think farts are funny.
Well, not like Sarah. I can always get a laugh out of Sarah by playing.
That's true.
Maybe she just
Sarah is more of a young boy than Tara is.
I think it's more that Sarah thinks sound effects are funny than that she thinks farts in particular are funny, because every time you play the ding wrong noises, even talking about them, she's laughing at them. We're not even playing them.
Sarah also likes shiny things and chapter books.
Back to the show.
Insert visual aid of Ruprecht stabbing himself in the eye with a fork.
So the other Sarah, the one in Beverly Hills 90210 who has a drinking problem, is shampooing hair in a salon. And her goal at the moment is that she wants to go to school to be a hairdresser. Let's find out if that's going to happen in this episode. Spoiler alert, it's not. The Walshes are at breakfast when Tim calls. Brenda is guilty. Brandon is suspicious. All of this is in the visual aids. Brenda tries to dodge the call, but it's too late. Cindy has already said that she's there. And so the Walshes all exchange looks, not lurks, as Brenda goes to get the phone and is extremely flirty in clip 13.
Sure, it's okay. No, you did not make a fool out of yourself last night.
Who is Tim Matthews?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't. I have other plans. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
Sounds like she likes him.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. You're very sweet. Bye. What are you staring at?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
More awesome interstitial music. I don't want to say she's leading him on, but she kind of is leading him on. She's being very flirty for someone who's not supposed to be interested. So she's kind of to blame for everything else that happens with Tim going forward, I feel.
And then she's so like prissy with everyone else about it. She's like, what?
Yeah.
I'm here to exercise, nothing more. And I mean, part of that is just like, you know, this is chapter 88 in the what the fuck is going on with Dylan and Brenda's relationship this week book.
Yep. Agree.
But part of it is also like, I don't know, this episode's attitude towards everything is sort of all over the place. But anyway, let's just move on because this drags on some more.
It really does. Back at the beach, Dylan and Sarah are wrapping things up. She asks him to go to the movies or something tonight, but he says he already has plans, which we know is karaoke, which is hilarious. And she immediately guilts him about it in clip 14.
Oh, no sweat. I'll find something to do. It's just not that easy being by myself these days, you know?
Yeah. You can always go to a meeting, you know?
Oh, 2 days in a row?
Hey, whatever gets you through the night.
I'm like, why is she putting this responsibility of her not drinking on him? I mean, I know that's part of the program, but it's not solely his responsibility.
And also, I don't know, like, she made it sound like she'd been in and out of the program a lot over the last few months. Like, get a sponsor.
Yeah.
Call her. Mm-hmm. This is a problem. And also, like, you live in a big city. There's a meeting somewhere every minute of the day.
Yeah.
Go to them all in a row if that's what it takes. But, like, this is not Dylan's problem. And you are 38 years old. You should know how to deal with this.
Go to a movie by yourself. And in those days, there weren't theaters where you could actually get booze like there are now, too. Moving on. After karaoke, Dylan and Brenda end up back at his house, and things get weird again in clip 15.
Listen, I'm hungry. You want a sandwich or something?
Boy, times sure have changed.
What?
It used to be we'd walk in here and the first thing on your mind was definitely not food.
Oh, well, that is definitely not out of the question. Come here.
Hmm? Oh, wait a minute. Incoming.
Oh, it can't be that important. I just saw everybody in the world that I know.
It's the answering machine, of course.
Hi, it's me, Sarah. I hope it's not too late. But I'm not doing so hot tonight. In fact, I need a drink pretty bad. Call me, please. Bye.
Leave a message after the drink-a-rooney.
Someone from the program.
I figured.
It's supposed to be confidential. I'm sorry.
Unless you're talking to Brandon.
Why don't you drive me home? That way you can call her and do what you have to do.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's okay.
I mean, first of all, like, she already met Sarah, so
she
why
saved
don't
her
you
life.
Just tell her?
Yeah.
I mean, this is so dumb. This is not how people act. And hi, Brenda, there were like two B plots over two episodes devoted to how you thought you two were doing too much fucking.
Yeah.
And now you're like, what's the matter? You don't want to fuck me? Like, dude.
Sometimes you just want a sandwich, okay? That's not wrong. It doesn't mean you're falling out of love. It just means you're hungry. Although, why are you hungry? You just came from a diner.
There's sandwiches. If you had to pick between sandwiches and fucking for the rest of your life, I don't know about you. Hashtag sandwich.
I mean,
I really like sandwiches. Neither of
them. It's awkward for me to answer because, you know, my husband's in the room, but I don't necessarily disagree. Moving on. So then Dylan is pulling up his
sandwich. I mean,
Sarah's.
What kind of sandwich?
Well, I mean, right?
The chicken sandwich.
I mean, not just a cold cut, not something you can make at your. I mean, it has to be at least like deli quality, not something you can make yourself. I don't want like a bologna and lettuce and, you know, Miracle Whip kind of affair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as we're all agreed.
Egg salad Dagwood with multiple cheeses.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag
diced red onion.
Hashtag sandwich orgy.
Jared's not invited. Moving on.
You ruined
hey,
it.
Hey, you're the one that said sandwich orgy.
Yeah,
you started
but that
it.
Was good fun.
What did I do?
You didn't
Why
do
am I suffering?
You had to bring the veal sandwich into it.
Sorry. God damn it.
Gross. Speaking of gross. Speaking
of... Oh, I wish I were dead.
Well, speaking of dead, so then Dylan is pulling up at Sarah's, quote, dump, unquote. Which,
oh, we're trying to come back from this?
I don't know,
okay.
I guess.
Carry on. I support you.
It's perfectly nice. You can see in the visual aids. Dylan knocks at the door. Sarah opens it in a state, and her ex is passed out with a bottle on the couch. And why I said speaking of dead is that it's Titus Welliver from Deadwood.
Oh.
Looking much worse than he does now.
Looks like a puffy poor man's Greco.
It's
not cute at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's not chubby or anything, but he is puffy. You're right. Like, he just looks like he hasn't come into his face yet. This happens with some male actors. Your Paul Rudds, you know, who look better a little bit older than they did when they were younger. You know, anyway, Dylan confronts this guy, and he confronts everyone in clip 16.
So this is him. This is why he wanted to break up so bad. Wasn't the booze. You got another guy.
It's not true.
You little slut.
Hey.
Oh, I'm real scared of you, tough guy.
Come on, man. Let's just take the bottle. Go somewhere else. She's made it real clear she doesn't want to see you anymore.
I get it. You're the sobriety patrol. I didn't know you guys made house calls. Or is it just for the blondes?
Come on.
Hey, I'm going. You can have her.
Oh, God.
It's all right.
Please don't leave. Please stay with me. He's gonna come back.
No, he's not. He's not gonna come back, all right? Not as long as I'm here.
He He is maybe
and
gonna...
also because you're really fucking annoying and clingy.
Yeah.
She's the worst. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. She is super handsy with Dylan in an inappropriate way, although in her defense, she doesn't know all the facts yet. But also, I wouldn't put it past the ex to like go outside, immediately able to tell which car is Dylan's if they live in a neighborhood full of dumps, and key the shit out of it, if not worse. Dumps. So he's probably taking a dump into... onto the passenger seat. Anyway.
Speaking of dumps, I would like to say, though, Titus Welliver is a pretty good drunk. He doesn't overplay
yes,
it.
Yes, agreed.
He's good. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, so this is him.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't Foster Brooks it up. It's very convincing.
Wow. Jeez. That one is for you 65-year-olds.
First the rabbit test, now Foster Brooks.
Jesus.
Stay tuned for my Grover yeah. Cleveland material. Okay. After the commercial, Kelly and Brenda are out for a jog. Kelly is defending Dylan, saying that the call from Sarah is part of the program. Brenda knows, but says it was still weird hearing her voice when she knows Sarah, and she reminds Kelly of who she is. And Brenda, I feel rightly, is upset that Dylan didn't tell Dylan told Brandon about Sarah, but not Brenda.
Yeah, I agree.
Since she called late at night and Brenda called Dylan late at night and called him again first thing in the morning, he wasn't there. And we hear Kelly's answer in clip 17, Spready.
Brenda, I'm sure there's a simple explanation. You should just ask him. I just don't want to push it, you know? Besides, I want to see if he'll tell me himself. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's not like you've told him about Tim or anything.
Ooh!
What does that mean?
Best.
Brenda,
you know what it means.
Kelly, he's just some guy who said hello to me in exercise class. There's nothing to tell.
Okay. I love that line reading from Jenny
Hey,
Garth.
Birds chirping. We got it.
Yeah. But she's right. I mean, I like that she doesn't totally back off. And we hear in the next clip that she has reason not to back off. Please play clip 18.
Did Dylan happen to call while we were out?
No, but... Tim called.
He did? He's calling you now? Oh, and there's nothing to tell. Mm-mm. Kelly, I'm sure you'll tell Dylan all about it, won't you?
He left a number. Just who is this Tim character anyway?
Just some guy that I met in exercise class.
Mm-hmm. Guy who makes you blush.
Brandon.
Fear not, young sibling. My lips are sealed.
We there wish. It is again. Remember getting messages from other people? Boy, those were the days. Not ask your parents. Again, it's not Brenda's fault that this guy keeps calling. It is his fault that she hasn't told him to stop calling, because she could have and she didn't. Moving on. Back at Sarah's, it's the morning. Sarah brings Dylan breakfast with a Greeked out can of cola that is definitely not Pepsi. Because she doesn't have coffee. She thanks him for staying, and then she says he looks cute in the morning, and then she leans in for a kiss, which he allows to go on for more than 10 seconds. I timed it. Before stopping her and saying it's a bad idea, and asking she knows about the 12 steps, right? And then he goes on to explain what he means in clip 19.
Yeah, but then there's a 13th step, and that's when people in the program start fooling around.
Well, what's wrong with that? At least you know you're fooling around with someone who doesn't drink.
Look, I know that it's hard for you right now. I know that, but you just can't go getting involved with every guy that's nice to you.
I'm not talking about every guy. I'm talking about you. I need you, Dylan. You're in the programming. You can help me stay sober.
You don't even know me.
You surf and you're sober. What else do I need to know? God, I want to drink so bad.
Just forget about one day at a time, okay? Try 1 hour. Call a sponsor. Go to a meeting. Or take a walk. Anything.
Why can't I just have you?
I have a girlfriend.
Ugh, finally. Wasn't really fair
really.
Of him to not tell her. But also, quit trying to manipulate people with your needing to drink. Like, admittedly, I've never been addicted, but that's... Seems like it's not cool.
Well, does that work? Would that work?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. It's got him to stay the night, which he probably wouldn't have done otherwise.
Right. Although 13 stepping is totally a thing.
Yeah.
And it's like pretty fun to sit in the back row of one of these meetings and have the regulars be like, oh, 13th stepper, low hanging for like pointing them at. I don't know. It's pretty hilarious to me. But it's like a known thing that Dylan would see what was going on. So he, like, part of him wants to be in that position,
right,
as it were.
I get it. So after that, she is upset, of course, but she backs off. But she says she can't do this by herself. She's scared she's going to slide away. And he promises it's not going to happen. And then mixed messages by hugging her really close and exhaling into her hair, which whatever, dude. And he tells her she should go to the meeting tonight because he will be there. And then it's night and we're back at the Sunday night cardio funk class. And Tim strikes up a conversation with Kelly in clip 20.
Brenda Kelly, right?
Hi, Tim. Brenda's not here.
I know. She told me she wasn't going to be here. She said she had other plans.
With her boyfriend.
So? They're not engaged, are they?
No.
Well then, fair game.
I really hate that attitude. I've heard people say that before and like, okay, I guess it's true, but also that's shitty.
I just don't. I don't get it. I don't know. I don't get it.
I mean,
I get it. Like, I understand it. Mm-hmm. I just don't get it.
It doesn't seem like a good ethical way to live to me. It's just
me. Well, it's kind of like that. The same attitude is like, whatever, having sex at your bachelor party or something. Like, is that not obviating the whole point of what you're about to do?
Right.
I don't know. It's just kind of retrograde. But yeah. I'm with you.
I mean, admittedly, like, Brenda is in high school, so it's like, of course she's not engaged, and of course, probably her relationship isn't going to be that serious, like, whatever. But also, if you're pre-med, like, try and meet someone your own age. Maybe she's, like, 17, maybe. She might still be 16, in fact. It's also kind of creepy. Anyway, moving on. Over at AA, Brenda is at the meeting with Dylan. She looks incredibly weird and uncomfortable at it, which, I mean, I guess, like, it's all supposed to be new to her, but, like, you're just sitting there. Why are you so uncomfortable? Whatever. Maybe she's uncomfortable by the mullet on Dylan's sponsor,
which is
gorgeous, resplendent.
It really is this, like, King Tut size.
It is. Oh, my God, you're so right.
Excuse me, King T. Sorry.
It's obviously in the visual aids, and it's totally the star of this episode, the way the ring was the star of the proposal episode, like, must be seen. It's gray. I don't want to ruin it for you.
It's a gray mullet?
It's gray. He's an older gentleman with a super mullet.
Neat.
Of all mullets. So the meeting breaks up, and Dylan and Brenda discuss in clip 21.
So, what do you think?
Well, it was different than I expected. I mean, I thought it would be depressing or boring or something, but it wasn't. It was kind of intense and fun at the same time.
Is it fun? I've never been to an AA meeting.
This, I, like, wrote this down and was like, that's exactly what it was like. I mean, okay. I'm sure it depends on the meeting and the person, but I had the same feeling as Brenda did, that it was like, well, this is going to be a lot of people sharing about a lot of, like, heavy, horrible things that happen, but, like, you know, they're people.
It's like when you go to somebody.
Some of them can tell funny stories.
Right.
I don't know.
And some of their drunk stories are probably pretty funny.
I don't know. Like, and especially at an anniversary meeting, it's, like, a really, it's a good mood. The food is a little better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I thought she nailed it. It really is like that.
All right, fair enough.
Sounds like when you go to a wake for, like, an aunt that you don't super know, but you know what I mean? You weren't super close to, so you're not super sad, but everybody else is sort of telling good stories, and then you get to eat at the wake after. Sounds very similar. Yeah.
Fair enough. So then Brenda comments that Dylan didn't have much to say and asks, doesn't he have secrets? Obviously setting him up to tell her all about Sarah. And then sponsor Ben, sponsor Mullet, shows up to end the uncomfortable moment and talks about how much he's heard about Brenda. And she's, you know, flattered because she loves when people talk about her. And Dylan looks around and either asks whether Ben has seen Sarah. And then he says what we heard up top, which is him sternly telling Dylan to work his own program. And then we're back over at the Peach Pit, where Kelly joins the gang and has brought Tim with her after class. And Brandon comes over to take their order and gross us all out in clip 22.
Oh, this is Brandon, Brandon's brother. This is Tim Matthews.
Oh, hi, Brandon. Yeah.
You got a real cute sister.
Thanks.
What? No and no. No to both of you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Why is he taking credit for it? First of all, why is he not being like, thanks? And why is he not being like, what do you think, I styled her or something? Like, it's all weird and gross. Perhaps I'm overreacting.
And why? I mean, why, Kelly? Why? Don't encourage it.
Mm-mm.
Like, if this person, the lone heterosexual jazzercizer in the greater Los Angeles area, really can't get it in any other way except for you to try to matchmake with slash embarrass your so-called BFF, please get cable. Don't do this. Get a library card. Watch some HBO, something. Not help.
Rub cocoa butter on your mother's stomach and plan her wedding. Or not that. Donna and Kelly then quietly, in the way of TV shows, 2 inches away from Tim, discuss how into Brenda Tim is. And then Brenda and Dylan show up. Brandon warns her that he's there, but then Tim is like right on top of them. And Brenda looks super guilty. And Dylan is seething and jealous in clip 23.
So you guys met at what, an aerobics class?
Cardio funk, actually. Really gets the heart rate going. Yeah. Take my pulse, please.
Is he also Dracula? Take my pulse, please. Okay.
Oh, I was holding for Dracula. Thank you. Obviously, like, Brenda is so into this guy that she cannot help flirting even when Dylan is standing right there. But it doesn't really matter because he is distracted and excuses himself to go and try and call Sarah again. Whereupon Brenda just shuts down, and then Cindy sidles over. Brenda introduces Cindy and Tim. The look that Cindy gives Tim is so hilariously also flirty that I made a gif of it, which is in the visual aids. Like, she digs Tim. Maybe when Brenda fully shuts this down, he shouldn't move on to Kelly, but maybe Cindy, just a suggestion. Anyway, Cindy complains about Jim on the mic, which is not fair, but we already discussed that. And then Tim volunteers himself and Brenda to go next so that Jim can't. And Dylan angrily hangs up the phone and comes out to see Brenda and Tim very flirtatiously doing their number. And Dylan motions for Brenda to come and talk to him in a very Brandon way that I do not care for, and that I also made a gif of, which you can see in the visual aids. And he explains that he wants to go and check on Sarah. And Brenda, in her way, bitchily tells him to go and side-eyes him as he leaves. And Tim offers to give her a ride home as though he didn't just learn that both of her parents are there and presumably are going home with her, but whatever. And then we're seeing Dylan pounding on the door at Sarah's. She comes to the door wasted on beer. Okay. And the ex is there again. And Dylan accuses him of having brought booze over and entrapped her with them, basically, but and gets mad. And the ex says that she was already drunk when he got there. And this happens, clip 24.
I didn't give her nothing. She was drunk when I got here.
Is that true?
Is it?
Hey, if it's anybody's fault I'm drunk, it's yours. I told you I couldn't do it alone. But you turned your back on me. What was I supposed to do?
I told you what to do. You didn't listen to me.
No, he didn't listen to me.
All right. Like, you're really...
We've been listening to you, hag. Go to a meeting or don't.
Seriously, ugh. Shut up.
Like, pardon. That, I had a note earlier in the episode where she's like, they should just let me drown. And I was like,
maybe. Yeah, I agree.
Worst.
She's not helping herself at all. And she's not taking...
And then there's like a... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying she's not taking any responsibility for herself.
Well, no. And, you know, I think there's like some line that they give Dylan where he's like, he realizes that he's, you know, getting too close to this situation. And it's like sort of a non-standard response, like, right. I think what Ben told him was right on, but mm-hmm. then he's like, whatever, not capable. I don't know, like, if they had given this to a different actress, I think it might actually have been, like, a pretty good storyline, mm-hmm. but between fucking stocky cardio Tim and Sarah, the, you know, helium board. Mm-hmm. It's like not really working for me, or I don't know. And like Titus Welliver, seriously, like he's doing some good work there in the background. Like that was a nice bit of business spilling the popcorn, which I gasped. I was like, don't spill the snacks. My God, man.
Well, yeah. Cause what happens is the ex tries to punch Dylan. He ducks and then he punches the ex and he falls and knocks over the popcorn. As Sarah said, very sloppy. And Dylan urges Sarah to come with him, but she rushes to the ex's side instead and yells at Dylan to leave because she's the worst. She's not great. And when you were talking and you were saying, if they gave this to any other actors, it might have worked. When I had the thought of like, what if it had been Emily comes back? Now she's got a drinking problem. And he actually does have to keep her secret because it's why do I keep saying American Airlines? It's Alcoholics Anonymous and he can't tell Brandon. But they also had a friendship and like he feels a responsibility to her. Like that would have been way more interesting and we would have been more invested in her because we knew her better, but obviously
right there were. But I think that's a show that's Jason Katims and not Dan Starr.
That's
so
a great point.
But I mean, I think even for this show, like, oh, we did see her again and then we'd never see her again. Or
no.
Drunk Bosch either. Except on actual Bosch, where he does get drunk sometimes. But it's like, you know, you could give it to someone competent. Like, I don't know, there's some summer episodes coming up where David and Nikki have a whole subplot. And like that actress is, whose name I forget, is good.
Yeah,
and
she
you
is
actually
good.
Buy it, even though her material is stupid. And this is just sort of a shame. Like, who is this actress? Why did she have to be here?
I mean, she got written out of Rags to Riches after the pilot. And then this happened to her. Like, she had a rough road. Speaking of Nikki, she also had bad ex problems with actors you will recognize. We'll get there, guys. We'll get there.
Keep on.
So back at the Walsh house, Cindy is watching out the window because Brenda and Tim are still outside talking. Jim likes this guy. Based on nothing, probably he complimented his singing. But Cindy wants to know, what about Dylan? And Jim is like, they're just talking. But of course, they're not just talking. Outside, Brenda reminds Tim again that she has a boyfriend who he met. And Tim, you know, tries to trap her by saying, you know, if she says he wants him to, he will leave her alone forever. But of course, she doesn't say that. And then they kiss. She stops it and says they shouldn't be doing this. This being kissing him again, which she does. She stops again and says she can't. She doesn't mean to lead him on. He says she's not. But he asks her to think about it. And she promises she will. And he says he likes her. She doesn't return the compliment directly, but obviously she likes him too. And then the next morning, Brenda is theatrically moping in bed in classic Brenda style when Brandon comes in to take her to school. And she's depressed and confused. She doesn't feel like getting out of bed. And then she confesses that she kissed this guy. And that it wasn't just a kiss, it was an awesome kiss. And Brandon has the answers about this, like he does about everything else, in clip 25.
You know, Bren, I think we're supposed to kiss a few different people before we settle down with one person for the rest of our lives.
I know. I was just so sure that Dylan and I were meant for each other.
Well, maybe you are and maybe you aren't.
Just why did I do it? What's wrong with me? I liked it. I liked him.
Brent, I think that's called being a human being.
He makes so many insufferable looks in this, too. Like, I don't know why Brenda keeps...
He does, but I don't hate this.
No.
I guess.
I don't hate this. He's right, but he's so smug about it.
Well, and also, I don't know, like, the show tends to forget that, like, he and Dylan are supposed to be best friends.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, they always have Brandon taking some insufferable side that completely forgets any other sort of subtlety or dimension to these relationships. Like, I know it's high school, but I don't know. I didn't hate him here, but it's also like, I don't know, you could mention that she's screwing over your friend and putting you in a weird position. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not going to come up because Dylan's not going to confide in him about any of this. So it's a non-issue. We're talking about a different show that doesn't exist. Let's
yes,
move on.
The one that's good and makes some sense. Exactly. And this one has now been going on for 30 years, so let's try to start wrapping it up.
Seriously. Back at Cardio Funk, Brenda has, as previously mentioned, put on the pointless butt floss panty over her leotards and is there with Kelly. Class ends and Tim comes over to ask what they're doing tonight. And Brenda finally dismisses Kelly and in a very ambivalent way says she doesn't think that they should be seeing each other. Tim shits on Dylan for leaving Brenda at the Peach Pit, which is not his place, and she defends Dylan, which is fair. And Tim apologizes for jumping to bad conclusions. Obviously, he didn't know about, you know, Sarah. Why would he? But just wanted to believe that Dylan sucked. Understandable. Don't worry, Tim. We'll all get there soon enough. And Brenda says she forgot something in her locker and goes to get it. So left alone, Tim sleazes on to Kelly, and we hear that in clip 26.
She dumped me.
Sorry, I tried to warn you.
What is she seeing that guy anyway? I mean, he's not that hot.
Trust me, they're meant for each other.
Or are they, Kelly? We'll get there. let's wrap it up for real. Dylan, back at his house with Brenda, says he knows that the past few days have been hard on her. And she says that Brenda had already told her which Sarah it was, and she doesn't know why she had to hear it from Brandon, and things get real tense in clip 27.
I'm not quite sure why you didn't tell me who she was. And why did I have to hear from Brandon?
I don't know.
Maybe you should think about that.
What about you and the cardio funk guy?
Dylan.
No, maybe you should think about that, Brent. At least I was trying to help some.
I mean, they both make good points, really. But she is so bitchy. Maybe you should think about that. Like, she goes from pensive and moody to bitch. It's such fast succession.
Yeah, my note on that on my little piece of paper is easy with, like, 15 E's. Because I was just like... Holy shit. Like, she just doesn't... This is, of course, what we love about Brenda.
Of course, but...
But even if it's not justified, she'll just go there because she's just like, well, I'd rather be too much of a bitch and walk it back than be not enough of a bitch, which... I think that's a pretty fucking good strategy for living.
I don't disagree.
She's totally wrong here.
She is. Well, so yes. So she reminds Dylan that Ben had said it's possible to get too involved with someone that you're trying to help, and... Dylan admits that Sarah didn't seem to want his help at all the last time he saw her. But he just, you know, seeing her in front of him drowning made him remember what it's like to be that person who doesn't want to be saved. And obviously, Brenda knows what that's like, too.
At a certain point, he says, for a long time, I was that person. And again, I have to wonder when he started boozing. What was he, like, 9?
Right.
Like, that does happen, and he was not a well-supervised young man, but... They tend to forget that the character is not as old as the actor, and they're like, for many years as a person. Like,
right.
I think it was probably about 6 months, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, even if he's referring to his most recent drunk that he's 90 days sober from, like, that wasn't a long time. That was like a week that your mom was in town, so calm it down. But anyway, Brenda obviously knows what he's talking about because she was worried about him too and didn't know what to do to help him. And so they wrap things up, finally, in clip 28.
Do I need to worry about this guy?
No, not anymore.
Nope. we never saw him again.
I kissed him. I'm sorry, I feel terrible. I mean, maybe I'm telling you just so I feel better. I don't know.
It happens.
Probably.
Happen to you?
Yeah.
Endless silence.
I cut so much silence too.
I don't know. I wonder what it's like when you're married 20 years and somebody else catches your eye.
You eat a sandwich.
Not anymore. Dave ruined it.
Then you look the other way.
I don't want something like this to break us up, Brent.
Neither do I.
Wah, wah. Kid.
We're gonna be okay.
Yeah, we are.
And yet, that's not the end of the episode. After that, we cut back to the comedy I guess, of Jim singing with his keyboard. Such a weird episode.
It really is strange and terrible.
And none of this stuff comes up in the next episode or for several more. So blech, why did we suffer through it? Let's wrap it up. Episode MVP. Ben with the mullet. And the good advice.
I like that choice. I'm going to go with Kelly with the stink eye.
Yeah, I'm so happy with the picture that I cut of it. Please go to the visual aids and see it. It must be seen to be believed. Least valuable player, Sarah. Not Sarah D. Bunting.
Sarah.
Sarah the drunk. For all the reasons.
The other drunk.
For all the reasons that we've already said. So obnoxious. So clingy. So boring, so whiny, so shut up, we never see her again, no one cares. And finally, the Kim challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
Five reasons from this episode that Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. He'll hold back secrets about people he's talking to, including ladies, which is bad.
He has been known to surf drunk, which is bad and dangerous.
He'll totally duck when a drunk person tries to punch him and make them fall and knock over the popcorn. Dangerous and drunk. I mean, and dangerous bad. And bad, I mean.
By all rights, should have gotten clocked in the teeth by Welliver, who outweighs him by, I'm going to say, 300 pounds. That's bad and dangerous.
Thinks it's okay to order his girlfriend around by flicking his fingers at her like she's the check, which is definitely bad and also dangerous because it's Brenda and she will turn his balls inside out.
Yeah. Also, bonus mad, bad, and dangerous. Bahata.
Totally. Let's wrap it up.
Alrighty, folks, that's another episode of Again With This. Thanks for listening. Next time, when a big-time developer's mall of the future threatens the Peach Pit, it's how to succeed in brazenness without really trying. Just kidding. It's extremely fucking trying. But we hope that you'll join us anyway and check out the visual aids for this episode and all the other Beverly Hills 90210 episodes we have covered. Hi, I can talk. At previously.tv. You can also follow us on Twitter at previously.tv. You can follow me at Tomato Nation, my esteemed co-host Tara at Tara Ariano, and our fine feathered producer Dave at Glark. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do. After the beeparoni.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.